pressure on it, that downward pressure, because his toes are still sticking out. And he has to kind of almost walk on his toes to be able to walk. So you have to work something out there. That put a little too much on him and he started crying. But crawling, he's flopping that old cast over there.
Banging it around, right?
Yeah. And he's laughing and carrying on like, no problem.
Let's go to Romans 1. Started verse 2 yesterday.
We're going to go back to review 1, I think.
No, we don't. You can re-listen to the thingy when it comes up.
Are we going to have this done by Passover?
No.
Next year.
It's a 3-year cycle.
It's separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. They said this is the only time in the scriptures or in the Bible that the word holy is applied to scriptures. And holy is hagios, which means the fruit of being totally and completely set apart for the singular purpose that you were created. Now, scripture is just graphe. It's just the common, ordinary Greek word for writings or documents, graphe. And so the whole idea of what are the scriptures becomes a critical issue to whether or not we believe things. Because it has to be a witness. But then what about, my God, every other day it seems like there's some new document. Not every other day, but every other 6 months or something. There's another, some idiotic gospel that they found. And so, there's the gospel of Thomas. There's the gospel of Judas. There's the infancy of Jesus. The gospel of Mary. There's a jillion of them. I've over the years, I've read most of them. And why, the question is, why haven't they been included? Why weren't those not included in the scripture? And is it some great conspiracy, as was alleged in many, many, different times over in history, that it was a conspiracy to keep so-and-so or somebody in power, or to hide the truth from the people? And it's just goofy. My position is that the scriptures are only holy because they of who they contain, who they are written about. We've talked about it many, many times. Let's go to Revelation 19 real quick. Right.
When this refers to the holy scriptures, it refers to a body of, which is the Torah, I guess, and the writings, but no other. So that it's an exclusive group of scriptures. That what this is saying?
Well, that's the basic argument. That's what we're going to try to determine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes I understand it better if I say it.
All right, Revelation 19. And for those of you idiots, it's Revelations 19.
That's
not
nice.
Huh?
Call people idiots?
And this is when he sees the marriage supper of the Lamb. He sees the New Jerusalem. And then in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." To me, that's pretty clear. And so, is the Bible the Word of God? Well, yes and no. The Bible is words about the Word. But my position is that if we had eyes to see, if we truly understood the cross, if we truly understood the book of Revelation, I mean of Ecclesiastes, then we would be able to say that everything is revealing this mystery. But what the meaning and purpose of Scripture, and let's go there. Let's see what the only thing that the Jews and the first century Christians, the only thing they called and named as Scripture was the Torah. The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And those were the five books that were allegedly, they were prepared by Moses. And so why is that important? It's important because Moses was to do everything according to the pattern or the parable or the picture that was showed to him when he was on the mount. And did he really just go up to a mountain and there? He didn't eat for 40 days or 40 nights. Anybody ever tried that? You die. But he was gone for 40 days and 40 nights because he was with God in eternity. And he saw. And then in eternity, there's no time. So he left time. And he saw something. He saw a humongous mystery. And that's the pattern that he tried to show. And that's what all of these parables and all of the types and purposes of the law revealed. And so now let's see what this is about.
This little moment where he saw everything is really cool. That here it is, and yet now he's got to try and put it into words and make it clear.
No,
only a parable will fill the bill.
And he's got to try to. He said. Remember, Jesus said that. If you don't understand that one parable about the dying seed, you won't understand any parable. And he said a lot of stuff. Let's look and see what he said. First of all, let's see what Paul said about it. Go to 2 Timothy, I think.
I'm sorry.
2 Timothy. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry. This know also, that in the last days their perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, leave behind. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with their diverse lusts. Lust just means wanting more than you have, wanting something to change. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Again, in here it just says Scriptures, but that's fine. They're the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So again, he's talking, he said, from a child you have known these Scriptures, because from a child they had been sitting in and doing a three-year cycle. From a child, so just as Jesus did, as a child, going through every year, every 3 years, they completed all of the Torah and all the prophets and all the writings. And so it was a cycle that went through, and it was then it was even emphasized more because at every year they did these particular feasts. And at the feasts, more and more was revealed as a living parable. Okay, and then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in here he is talking specifically about what Gary was saying. This is the Torah. That's the only thing anybody, they considered Scripture. Remember, that was the Torah. That was the inspiration of God. And the writings and the prophets were given because of the people's rebellion. But the five books were all that was necessary, and that's what this says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, do you understand this? He's not talking about something Paul would say and calls it Scripture. Paul would be appalled if his writings were called Scripture. Can you understand that? Because he's saying that everything that was necessary for you to come to the fullness of salvation was revealed in the Torah. And everybody that saw it throughout all of the times, whether it was Abraham saw his day, whether it was Moses when he was on the mount, whether it was all the others that saw, they're just in the same position we are. Just as Abel was in the same position we are. Does everybody understand this? Or do you? Because this, if we don't understand this, then we got to spend some more time on what Scriptures are. But I believe, this is just me, that once your eyes, the scales have been taken from your eyes, and you see the emptiness and vanity and futility of all human effort, then everything that's produced reveals Christ. Can you understand this? Everybody, you don't have to agree with that part. That's just my opinion. But all right.
Is the term inspired? How did that,
the what?
Inspired. Do you think that is unique to the Torah?
No, but it's only. From the standpoint of being inspired, from Paul's standpoint, the only thing that's inspired is that which reveals that it's only inspired because it reveals that which is inspiration. That's Christ Himself. You try to separate Christ from inspiration and separate Christ from the anointing, then you have all these crazy things that go on. Well, let's go to John 5:39.
Excuse me, but before we go on, this is where he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Doesn't that also, in a larger sense, mean that those Holy Scriptures, that Torah is in, has been in you from the beginning? The Torah is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in you and has been from the beginning. It isn't a new thing that happened when you were 9 years old. It's just that the crap hadn't gotten out of the way to see what was already there.
Yeah.
You're walking. You're a walking Torah.
Right.
But you're in the way.
That's why the only hope of glory is always Jesus Christ in you. That's why you can't use the word hope apart from the resurrection. If you were to use the word hope, I hope that this happens and I hope that that happens, then you are guilty of proceeding in the possibility of proceeding into heresy, because you've separated hope from the resurrection. You've given the name hope to something other than the singular gospel, the resurrection. And so, you know, you got to be careful here, because otherwise you can get into pantheism, and you know, God is everywhere, and you know, all these goofy religions, they all talk about, well, there's the spirit of Christ in us all. Well, that's not what the mystery is about. It's Jesus Christ in us all. It's the idea that the Word has been made flesh, and it's the intent that it be made flesh in His people. And the only way that can happen is your emptiness. It's not something you learn. Again, because that would make it, you have to have some modicum of intelligence in order to become a believer, and that would leave us out.
That last thing, the man of God is perfect and fully furnished, is the opposite of what it sounds like, because to be fully furnished is to be completely empty.
Right, but you find the only way you know that, or get what he's saying, I mean, he's saying you've known, you've seen this from the beginning. You've been part and parcel of. And again, it's true in another sense too. As you know, Paul calls the different levels. There's the child, the adolescent, the young adult, and the parent, spiritually. And so you go from. And that's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on in spirit matters. It's not dependent on time. And it's not dependent on learning. It's dependent on no time and unlearning. But when you're a child, you differ nothing from a servant, though you be Lord of all. You got it? Okay, let's go to John 5. Verse 30. This is Jesus speaking. I can of mine own self, or from my own self, do nothing. Now that's an incredible statement from the standpoint of he who was in the form of God. But if he did all the tricks that we want him to do, then he wouldn't have been of any value to you. But he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation at all from the point in time of his baptism. That's the only thing we know about. He may have done it earlier, but we know he made himself of no reputation, or emptied himself, or from his own self did nothing from his baptism all the way through to everything we know about him. He always submitted his will to the Father's will. Okay? So you got to, and as he is in the world, so are we. We've got it. That's all we can ever do. You know. All right, but watch. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Now, that's not catecrino, judge now, and it's discern. As he hears, he discerns. He doesn't make discernment after his senses. It's the instant dependence on God, total transparency. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will. Now, that's the key. That's the key to everything. You seek not your own identity. He's never trying to justify himself. Once you try to justify yourself, then your judgment isn't true. Yeah, I hope that's a big statement, but I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That is true today, tomorrow, yesterday, always. In because of the Trinity, that's really what this is about, is the understanding of what the Trinity is. If you bear witness of yourself, then the witness can't be true. No matter how many times you swear on the Bible, no matter what you do, because you're bearing witness of yourself.
This is like when he said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good except the Father."
That's right.
Even Jesus Christ didn't rely on himself.
No, you got to remember, they wanted, after he fed the 5,000, they wanted to make him king. And he went and hid himself. They wanted to make him what you and I would like to make him. Peace a little bit. It's the same people. We're the same as they were. But I bear witness of myself. My witness is not true. Big statement. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but those things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his sight. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now, he's not talking about doing tricks. The work that he was sent to do was to be tested in everything and finding out whether anything could take him off the mercy seat, even while he was in the flesh. And in order for you to be, for the one, the opposer, HaSatan, in order for him to have fully tested Christ, then again, he had his mind, as Son of Man, had to take him up to this high hill in a moment of time, show him all the kingdoms of the world and the power and their glory, and say to him, as Son of God, all this has been given to me, and if you just worship me, worship self for just a second, and all of this is yours. You've got to hear this. This is the great dividing line. With all the power he had. Do you understand that the Christ that is preached in the power, the healing ministries, the Christ that is preached in those, they're preaching a hapless Christ who just, it's like he's one of the Greek gods up in Mount Olympus that he just sort of messes with people, and every once in a while they'll do something. That's the theology that most of us grew up with. Then we have to learn what to do to appease the gods. We have to say our prayer at night, and we have to fold our hands and pray over the meal. So we miss the mystery. It becomes another, we're just like the Greeks trying to appease Zeus or Hera or whoever, whichever god they were trying to appease at the moment. And it's just silly. It's just childish. So we learn how to pray. It's the same as the Greeks. They learned how to pray. They say the right kind of prayers to their little gods because they didn't want to make them mad. That's all gone. That's all gone. Now there's a new creation that is absolutely nothing, no reference in the old one. This isn't going well.
We ran across a column somebody had written about Kenneth Copeland having a crisis of faith because he'd been praying for 30 years for Australia and God hadn't given it to him yet.
Those guys, they're like, they're in spiritual kindergarten running around my daddy can beat up your daddy. I hope somebody...
You can really understand why people with any kind of brain or any kind of gumption, their reaction to that preachment is either that's a crock of shit and forget it, or, okay, the God you're talking about really does exist and I will have nothing whatsoever to do with an idiot God like that. I mean, it makes sense that people reject.
Okay, let's see if I can continue where I once wanted to go. I don't know why I got off on all this other stuff.
Are we in John or back in...
No, we're in John. John chapter 5. Verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And that you should holler that to the people. Oh, Jesus is about 5'10", and his span of his is about 9 inches. No, that's not what... That's they're saying that they created a God in their own image. And you have not his word abiding in you. From whom he has sent, him you believe not. You, and this, and again, this is a scripture you got to hear, the least studied scripture. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify only of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. And again, that one alone, that scripture alone should blow your mind. But they twist it around so that's, you're supposed to search the scriptures. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. And what it says in the Greek is he wrote only of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Can you capture what's going on here? And I mean, you can't be a believer and not have persecution. It's impossible. You can't be a believer and get what you want. It's impossible. That's why you've got to count the cost. You cannot be in his name and your name. But you've got, I mean, think, his mercy is unbelievable. How long he waits for you to see the end of all these things, even though the scriptures declare them. Because he knows. He's waiting for you to sit down. Anybody have any other response, Gary? Well, Gary makes me crazy. Because his mind never stops. It's not...
Maybe you should sit behind the screen.
I'll sit and move up a little bit. No, I feel like I've been undressed or something. It's just the old man just falls away at this stuff because there's nothing about me that can stand in this arena. It's not painful, it's like it just
takes no, it's not painful to walk away from a dump.
Well said. and all these eternal moments, like the temptation. I mean, to spend 40 days fasting and then experience that, I mean, that's a pretty serious little situation.
Yeah. All you have to do is turn a stone into bread or into
a croissant
or into, you know, and he could have done it.
That's the right thing to do. I mean, you're hungry. Well, come on. What's the deal here?
You can't help yourself.
But I was thinking, he fasted for 40 days before that, so there was not much of him left.
Oh, but no. All that fasting does is make you more irritable.
Yeah, until about the 30th day, probably. Then you got nothing left.
No, he would have killed you for a grape.
Yeah.
A son of man. Yeah. He had to get to that point.
Yeah, it had to be a temptation or it was nothing.
Right. It's again, you can't be tested or tempted by something. You're always, and I can't say this right, but you're never tested by something you don't possess. You got it. The test is whether or not you're going to use it instead of believe. Okay, I gave up being a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for Jesus. No, you don't. No, I didn't. I never had the possibility of even being on the same playing field. It's got to be something that you have the potential to do, and you know it, and then you empty yourself of it. That's why, man, when I first was a believer, people were healed right and left every time I touched them, and they got slain in the spirit, and all these things. But I saw right away that that's not what this was about.
That would have turned it all on you.
But that's the same thing that we want. We still want it. I don't have the words. You fill up his affliction that's lacking in the body by emptying you yourself of even the minest little teeny strengths that we might have. Oh no, God's using my ability to play the piano. No, he's not. I wasn't just picking on you, Wade. I was picking on us all. Because that's what men will try to get you to do. Oh, you, John. Okay, that's what I was going to say to you last night. Oh, John is really good at this Wall Street stuff. So he should be using that. Well, okay, we'll use him for that. But the point of it is, this is not something that's external. You can't. It's you've got to know internally to give up any natural abilities that you may have. Again, I got to tell the story since Carrie's gone. Well, I've told you before, in one of the Desert Fathers books, there's this great story about the woman who came all the way from Alexandria to go to one of the monasteries, and took her weeks of travel and walking. That's all she. And she got there, and the leader, she finally met this guy that was supposed to be his great teacher. And he just looked at her and he said, "Did you bring anything with you?" And she said, "Oh, only those two little rocks, the pretty rocks that I found way back there when I first started. They're really pretty. Here, I'll give them to you." His response was, "Take them back." That you got to leave you behind. But that's we want to use each other's. We say, "Well, but then it's blah 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 blah." And we all do it. Well, use this at your ability, or use that. His strength is revealed in purposed weakness. I pray you understand. What?
I can do nothing against the truth, but I can't do that much for the truth either.
It's true, except to empty yourself. It's not. Wait a minute. You can't do that much. You. You must be in Gary's Bible study. You're going to keep a little bit. Take it, big guy.
Just one stone.
Yeah, just one stone.
So I.